ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय So this morning we are reading from 5th canto, Srimad Bhagavatam, chapter 14, entitled The Forest of Enjoyment, text 23. Ata chattasmat upayatapi hi karma simin atmanam samsara vapanam udha haranti. Okay, atha. Now, cha and tasmat, because of this. Ubayanta api, both in this life and in the next. He undoubtedly karma, fruitive activities, asmin, on this path of sense enjoyment, atmanaham, of the living entity, samsara, of material life, avapanam, the cultivation ground or source, udaharanti, the authorities of the Vedas say. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. Translation. Learned scholars and transcendentalists therefore condemn the materialistic path of fruitive activity because it is the original source and breeding ground of material miseries, both in this life and in the next. Purport. Not knowing the value of life, karmis create situations whereby they suffer in this life and the next. Unfortunately, karmis are very attached to material sense gratification and they cannot appreciate the miserable condition of material life, neither in this life nor in the next. Therefore, the Vedas enjoin that one should awaken to spiritual consciousness and utilize all his activities to attain the favor of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. The Lord Himself says in Bhagavad Gita 9:27, Yat karoshi yad ashnasi yad juhoshi dadasi yat yat tapasyasi kamte yat tat kurushva madarpana. O son of Kunti, all that you do, all that you eat, all that you offer and give away, as well as all austerities that you may perform, should be done as an offering unto me. The result of all one's activities should be utilized not for sense gratification, but for the mission of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. The Supreme Lord gives all information in Bhagavad Gita about the aim of life, and at the end of Bhagavad Gita, He demands surrender unto Him. People do not generally like this demand, but one who cultivates spiritual knowledge from many births eventually surrenders unto the lotus feet of the Lord. Bahunam janmanam antem yanavan mam prapajante. Atacha tasmat upayatapihi karma smin atmanaha samsara vapanam udharanti. Learned scholars and transcendentalists therefore condemn the materialistic path of fruitive activity because it is the original source and breeding ground of material miseries, both in this life and in the next. Amagyana timirandasya giranjana shalakaya chakshurum militam yena tasmai shri gurave namaha namo vishnu padaya krishna prashta bhutale shimate bhaktivedanta swamini tinamina namaste saraswati devi gauravani pracharne nirvishesha shunyavadi paschachale shtarina jai shri krishna chaitanya prabhu nityananda shidvaita garadara shasari gaura bhaktavrinda hare krishna hare krishna 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 hare 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 rama hare rama 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 hare hare. So herein it is stated that those personalities who are learned or scholars who are transcendentalists, they condemn the materialistic path of fruitive activities because it is the original source and breeding ground of all material miseries in this life and in the next. Of course, the whole process of the Vedic knowledge is somehow to attract people to practice something related to Dharma. We come to this material world with the idea of enjoy separately from the Supreme Personality of Godhead, trying to utilize all the material resources for our own sense gratification. And therefore we get entangled more and more in all various kinds of types of bodies and activities, and therefore there are consequent miseries that follow that we have to unfortunately suffer because of such kind of various activities that we perform. Unfortunate thing is that the most people don't know that they are even suffering. This is the most common thing in this material world. Even if you tell somebody, you know, there is something better, there is something greater, people will not appreciate, they will not accept it. Srila Prabhupada gives this example, you know, if you give to hog, if you give it a halava or something, it won't appreciate it. It will always go for something that is horrible, actually. They can't appreciate something better. And they always think that whatever is lower, what kind of lower taste exists there in this material world, that this is something that it's very nice. Especially in terms of suffering, that even such kind of abominable, say, either activity or kind of enjoyment that they might think that there is some kind of enjoyment. Actually, they don't even realize that. And this is the most misfortunate position of any conditioned living entity here in this material world. Yeah, so sometimes what devotees have to do, like now we are distributing books, we are trying to awake people from their dormant spiritual condition through which they can realize that actually this world is a world of suffering and misery. And it's not really a nice place. Because the worst thing is everybody always kind of hopes is that false hope. It's a really false hope. Sometimes in the future it's going to get better. You know, now it's, in the past it was bad, now it's bad. But maybe in the future it will get better. So even for such kind of reasoning, such kind of level of consciousness, they don't realize that actually they're constantly suffering. So Prabhupada very often points out that what means enjoyment or happiness in this material world is that, you know, when there is a cessation of suffering, that actually this is kind of a level of happiness. So when we don't suffer, we consider, oh, this is very nice. Like people will perform all kinds of austerities. They're really ready to perform all different kinds of austerities. Like we know, there are so many different kinds of transcendentalists, so to say, spiritualists. They will perform all kinds of austerities, but they will not surrender unto the Supreme Personality of Godhead. It's very easy to do some tapasya, it's very easy to do, say, like fasting. They will do all kinds of fasting processes. They will maybe walk barefoot, they will do all kinds of different kinds, whatever type of austerity you may imagine. But ultimately they won't surrender unto the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So any tapasya they are ready to perform, but again they won't take to any spiritual process actually that is really meant for our ultimate benefit. So this is the most difficult thing, and this is what Krishna is trying, what is mentioned here in the purport itself by Srila Prabhupada, bring ultimately everybody to surrender unto him, because nobody wants to surrender. And this is why we are here in this material world. I want to be somebody who is a controller, somebody who is proprietor, somebody who is going to be somehow or other recognized by others, somebody who is going to derive all kinds of different benefits, but just for me and mine and myself. Just I. There is that false ego. Why we are here in this material world? Somehow or other to be able to be predominant over somebody else. In that kind of course of life. Therefore, we don't even realize actually how we're actually suffering. Because here, there is always someone who's gonna somehow or other step on our toe. There's always somebody who's gonna spoil our dreams about sense gratification, one way or another. Just at the point when you think, okay, now I have reached the peak of whatever it's supposedly what is supposedly have to be achieved to kind of be satisfied and happy in this material world, that there's going to be always either someone or something that is going to spoil our sense gratification. Simple example, maybe. Sometimes you may, like, usually materialists, they like to enjoy, say, you know, they maybe have their favorite movie they want to watch, you know, on their TV, or there is a particular serial going on. Yeah, nowadays people, they watch all different kinds of serials. And then you prepare everything nicely, and you have, you know, your favorite drink, you have your favorite popcorn or whatever, you have your, you know, nice setup, and then everything is ready. And of course, you've been working or studying all day long, and finally you're ready somehow to now relax in your favorite chair and watch your favorite, and cereal or movie, or you taste your favorite drink and favorite food, and you're just ready now to enjoy. And then suddenly somebody comes, skips on knocking on the door, and you know, very loudly, and here comes your neighbor. I don't know if you can relate to that, maybe previously when you were devotees, but nowadays sometimes it happens, and starts talking about this and that and that, and it just completely distracts you from whatever you wanted to do, and all your sense enjoyment is spoiled. So this is in terms of material life, as something that quite often may happen. In terms of even spiritual, some kind of neophyte aspirations that sometimes are one way or another, we can become one type of or another type of controller. Again, there's going to be always somebody who's going to point out to some faults that maybe we might be even having. And we do have faults. There's nothing unusual. But somebody's going to point it out, and it's going to spoil our dreams about whatever control we might be having or whatever position we might be aspiring to occupy. There's always going to be something in this material world. If, as long as we are, of course, on this kind of materialistic level of trying to somehow or other enjoy anything that is not directly offered or related to the pleasure of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Of course, these are some kind of lower levels of spiritual life, neophyte levels of the spiritual life, where we don't understand that actually everything is ultimately meant for the pleasure of Krishna. Only at the point when we really act for the ultimate pleasure of Krishna, then there is possibility of really being happy and satisfied in this material world. As long as we have some kind of desire for our own sense promotion or gratification, there's no question of being achieving happiness in this material world. Absolutely, there's no question. Because there's always going to be some kind of something that's going to spoil that particular conception of us being the enjoyer, proprietor, or controller. You know, they always have to beat with adhyatmik, adibhautik, adidaivik klesha. It's just unavoidable. But at the point when we at least realize, okay, fine, we have to somehow or other learn how to live with all these different pleasures, but they really essentially have nothing to do with us ourselves, with our position as the spirit soul in this material world. We have nothing to do with all these miseries, material miseries. They're just there ultimately to purify us on the path of spiritual life. That's all. And if we accept them as such, then we can just completely focus on the spiritual life and spiritual process. Because that's what Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita. The person who is undisturbed in all different kinds of circumstances and who can tolerate all the different kinds of dualities of this material world, he is very dear to me. Because this world is the world of dualities. It's unavoidable. There's always going to be heat, cold. There's always going to be some kind of happiness, distress. There's always going to be some kind of honor and dishonor. There's always going to be some kind of duality in this material world. And as long as we are attached to any of this, we're going to suffer. Because it really has nothing to do with us. So how to avoid all these different kinds of sufferings? It's only possible if somehow or other, by practicing this process of Krishna consciousness, we elevate ourselves to the level that we understand, no matter what is going on, somehow or other, you know, engage whatever energy, whatever time we have in the process of self-realization, in the process of trying, therefore, to become self-realized and ultimately please the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Ultimate, it's not a question of, you know, how good we, in a sense, practice any particular thing, but just our endeavor, our desire, our struggle. Srila Prabhupada said, I like to see my devotees struggling. It's not that Srila Prabhupada was kind of a mean or something, seeing devotees struggling, and that's something that gave him pleasure. No, not in that sense, but in a sense that he saw the devotees are eager to somehow or other fight against these lower conditionings that we are all filled with. That they at least show desire, yes, I want to try to practice this process, although sometimes it might not be very easy. I want to practice sadhana. It's not easy also sometimes to practice sadhana either. And it's not that we're going to achieve perfection just by sadhana itself. We might, but it doesn't necessarily mean. There was one very nice statement by Guru Govinda Maharaj. He said that it's not, who are we to achieve perfection actually by the sadhana bhakti? It's very difficult to achieve perfection. It's almost practically impossible. But how do we achieve perfection? Actually, by the mercy of the Guru. By trying our best to practice sadhana bhakti. There is no guarantee that we're going to achieve perfection by practice of the sadhana bhakti. But at least the guarantee is there that if we practice sincerely, if we give all our, you know, if we put all our endeavors, and if we have that much faith that this is the Guru's order and we try to execute it the best we can, then we will receive the mercy of Guru and ultimately we will achieve perfection of life. So this is the this is the process that gives us so much encouragement, and that we see, of course, when we practice, we derive the taste for it, and we can somehow or other keep on still struggling, because it's far, far greater, far, far better than anything else that any other personality, you know, outside in this material world can achieve. And as we see, they suffer and they don't even recognize that they are suffering. They always keep on hoping, maybe in the future, maybe in the future. And this is complete illusion. They don't even realize actually that there is something far greater. The most amazing thing and the worst thing is they don't even want to try something better. They're completely in illusion, thinking that just by whatever their so-called one-eye guru, I said the media's or TV has been, you know, informed them about, you know, this material world and trying to gratify the senses, that this is the ultimate goal. This is the greatest illusion that people are in. And therefore now, when we have an opportunity to somehow or other elevate them from this kind of a dreaming condition, then we should utilize it and somehow or other preach to them the best way we can. Somehow or other wake them up, inspire them. Please read Srimad Bhagavad Gita. Because this is what Krishna also states here. Somehow or other, you know, please try to engage whatever you do, you know, in your life. Somehow or other connected to Krishna. You don't have to leave everything. Somehow or other connected to Krishna. And just make your life perfect. It's a very simple formula. Because here in this material world, as I said, we all come, we try to exploit material nature. And that's mostly what people do. But somehow or other, we have to elevate them to the level of offering it at least first, relating it somehow or other to Krishna himself. And that's the way where spiritual life begins. Because here in this verse, it has been stated that this materialistic even path, even, of course, it's far greater somehow or other to relate whatever activities we do, whatever we perform, somehow or other to relate it to Dharma. That's the first step. Somehow things have to be connected to something spiritual. Okay, you're doing this, you want to enjoy even in this particular way, you know, at least, okay, fine, but connect it to Krishna. Unless this is done, then definitely there's going to be some reaction. Yagyartat karma noanya tralokam karma bandana tadatam karma konte mukta sanga samachara. That if any activities performed, they're not connected to the Supreme Personality of Godhead, they're just cause of bondage. They're just cause of our ultimate, again, suffering and misery. So they have to be connected. And even while they're connected, somehow or other, even higher stage beyond that is the stage where, as Krishna said to Arjuna in Bhagavad Gita, it's Traigunya Vishaya Veda Nistraigunya Bhavarjuna Nidvan Dvanitya Sattva Stonir Yoga Kshema Atmavan. That level where we have to rise above the three modes of material nature and all the flowery words of the Vedas. That's again more likely kind of related to us, because not really us as devotees, but mostly people who at least start to practice spiritual life in some level, but they're still attached to some fruitive activities. Because that's what we find. People say, you know, when we distribute books, yes, we have Bhagavad Gita, we have other things, but they utilize it mostly for some kind of a, again, personal benefit. Which is, okay, fine. It's a lower level of spiritual life. But it's not the ultimate. So somehow or other, getting more and more in touch with this spiritual knowledge, we can give them opportunity to appreciate whatever Krishna has been given in Srimad Bhagavad Gita. To somehow or other come to that level of the surrender. As I said in the beginning, people will do anything, and so-called transcendentalists, they will do anything in this world, but they won't surrender to Krishna. Yesterday I was talking to one devotee. We were coming back from Sangitan, and he just mentioned there is one particular group who is also utilizing, he didn't specify the name, but they're kind of the Sindhi and the Punjabi community, and they are using Bhagavad Gita and everything from Bhagavad Gita, but ultimately they won't mention Krishna. They will utilize all the information from Bhagavad Gita, but they won't mention Krishna. They won't point out that ultimate goal is to surrender to Krishna. So then what kind of Bhagavad Gita is this? We know that's something that Srila Prabhupada was very much opposed to. He was fighting very much against. You know, people want to utilize, you know, Krishna's information for their own, you know, purposes, but they won't give credit to Krishna. Now, this is that kind of information, that kind of attitude is actually very offensive attitude. It's very offensive attitude, and Srila Prabhupada definitely condemned it very strongly. So therefore, even such people who kind of have some idea about spirituality, but they actually misuse it, it's even worse position in another way. So there are so many different kinds of misconceptions in this world, and everything is just meant, of course, somehow or other for people to remain in this cycle, as it is stated here, of samsara, or the cycle of birth and death. So therefore the spiritual life is always pointed out to be like a razor's edge, wherein we have to be careful that whatever, even if we start to practice that is bona fide, that it's actually going to deliver us the ultimate result of achieving the lotus feet of Krishna. So we have to be careful, and the only way is somehow or other to present the ultimate knowledge, to wake up people from their dreaming condition of being in that particular illusion, you know, that somehow or other I'm fine, I'm not suffering, everything is okay, and it's going to be better. And as we see, it's never better. It's always getting worse and worse and worse. You know, we get into this traffic jam just when we travel from one place to another. You know, what kind of condition is this? And it's so filled with so much dust, with so much pollution. It's horrible. So how can it be better? If things are increasing in such kind of a manner, it's just going to get worse and worse and worse. You know, you see just also like recent news of these shootings taking place, you know, in the Western world. You know, I don't know if you heard about that. It's just constantly getting worse. I mean, there's something, of course, that to that kind of a Western life, but people are completely frustrated, completely miserable. And, you know, what is the way they express this? It's the most horrible. So everybody is suffering in this material world. It's not possible to avoid any of the clashes here. So we should be intelligent to utilize this wonderful knowledge, this wonderful opportunity, and give it to others as well. And this is the best course of action, because when we give mercy, then we gain it as well. This is Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's mission. The more we give, actually, the more we get. This is the spiritual formula, not like anything material. So therefore, this book distribution is a wonderful opportunity that somehow or other we can come out and share this knowledge, share this wonderful knowledge, share this Bhagavad Gita as it is with others. And we see that many people appreciate. Like yesterday again, we were driving and there was a man just, we stopped on the red light, and I asked one devotee, why don't you offer Bhagavad Gita to that person, you know, just driving next to us. And he did that. And then person took Bhagavad Gita. It's amazing. So people are actually just waiting in some ways. But we have to be there as an instrument. As Krishna said to Arjuna, Nimitramata Bhava Savya Sachin. You know, just become an instrument. It's not that we are the ones. We don't have to be sometimes, you know, like many times devotees become shy and afraid, you know. I'm the doer and therefore I depend on the result for whatever is happening. No, that's not necessary. That's completely actually wrong consciousness. We're just an instrument. We just have to allow Srila Prabhupada and Krishna to act through us. And we just have to be present. We just have to be available to present this mercy to others. So when this happens, then of course, the more we become transparent, that actually the more we will be able to distribute this knowledge. And the more we are eager to do, the more we will actually gain the mercy as ourselves. And that's the whole point, that eagerness, that struggle. It's not sometimes also easy. Krishna will put us in different kinds of situations when we might be struggling a little more. And sometimes it might not go so easily. But it doesn't matter. What counts is that our effort, what counts is that our struggle, our desire, somehow or other to please Krishna and Guru, somehow or other to execute this mission, somehow or other to give this mercy to everybody else. So here this particular process of different kind of spiritual progress that is given here, it's very much condemned, because it still keeps person, you know, miserable life after life. And that process of trying to achieve sense gratification, even by some kind of scriptural means, it won't satisfy anyone ultimately, until we really surrender unto the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Okay, stop here. Hare Krishna. Any questions or comments? Okay, Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai, Srila Prabhupada ki jai.